listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, better do, can do, must do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, and believe me, the weather is in this country. I'm going to tell you, when I say that about the weather, it's real. It is real because of climate change, global, whatever you want to call it. It is highly unpredictable. I mean, especially here in the Western Hemisphere, because, you know, you got the weather coming from the Atlantic, the weather coming from the Pacific, and bam, it just wreaks havoc here in North America, particularly the United States, definitely, with hurricanes and tornadoes and drought and fires and snow, extreme cold. And see, that was a thing that many people didn't understand about climate change. Because when they said, initially talked about it, they said, well, it's global warming. And the thought was, well, the planet is warming up, so why is it cold now? No. What it really talked about was extreme weather patterns. And for longer durations. So, I don't know, y'all. I tell you, it's deep, ain't it? This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to us live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com, timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. And these programs are dated and titled. They're dated and titled thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. And you can check those programs out. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media today, Monday, from all times I'm going to give are Eastern Time. So Monday from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia, Acres of Diamonds. From 68, right after Acres of Diamonds, is Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesday, tomorrow evening from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. Every Wednesday from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern. You know what time it is? That's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you're right, brothers and sisters. It ain't me. It's Sister POC with her program, once again, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's Brother Elliot and Brother Richard with Time for an Awakening. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Other programming that's happening around or things we're going to talk about, We Buy Black WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for Black American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. They have a kiosk in the Atlanta, in the Greenbrier Mall in Atlanta, where they sell a lot of products. So we want to definitely support them. They have their conference. I'm trying to get somebody. Hopefully I can get somebody. I've been calling them. No return calls. But their convention is this Friday and Saturday, and we'd love to have somebody come on and talk about it at the Galleria Mall. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Tayembe. Brother Bomani Tayembe. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. He's leaving this Friday for Ghana. He's leaving this Friday. He'll be on today, hopefully in the 12 o'clock hour, to talk about the trip, leaving from the U.S. to Accra, Ghana for 3 days, and then Kumasi for 3 days, and then the Cape Coast for 3 days, and it's going to be a great trip. So he'll talk more about it. And, of course, if you want to see photos from the previous trips, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of the previous trips, even the ones recent from this year, in May of this year, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Books. Books, books, books. As I constantly say, I know we don't read enough books, and of course that is true, but I'm going to continue to promote it anyway because that's what we should do. Read. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in Atlanta in this West End. The number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676 for the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The operating hours are Wednesday through Saturdays from 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. It's closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. It's the Cultural Center and Bookstore. They have not only books, they have furniture, they have clothing, they have artwork, they have figure, they have it all at the Shrine. They also have the red, black, and green shoes. If you see me, if I'm not wearing dress shoes, I guess y'all be having some red, black, and green shoes on. They have those there at the Shrine, and if they don't have the size, they'll get them for you. Another place for books is the Medu Netcher or the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, and if they don't have the book that you want, they'll make sure you get it because I know they've done it for me. And then, of course, my good brother and friend, Brother Jamu, with Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That's east of here, east of Atlanta, on I-20, Interstate 20. And the number to call for Brother Jamu with Black Dot is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. And they also have red, black, and green shoes, the NASGAS shoes. And, of course, if they don't have the size, they'll order them. But they have a nice array, so it's a good possibility. And styles. I need to call the brother because I want to get those white ones. That's right, the UNIA. I want to get those. Throw some red, black, and green strings up in that bad boy. It's going to be outstanding. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you do know what I'm saying. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Us Lifting Us in the spirit of Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Please check out usliftingus.com. More importantly, please join usliftingus.com. Please be a shareholder. Please be a contributor. We need my brothers and sisters to be a part of usliftingus.com. Cafe Ulu, because of usliftingus.com, we created Cafe Ulu in Atlanta here, 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, 2036 Sylvan Road. We're open Mondays from 11 to 7, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Mondays, Tuesdays through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. We sell coffee. That's right. We sell coffee. We have Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, where coffee started in Ethiopia, and much, much more. Brazilian, Nicaraguan, you name it, Panamanian. We have coffee. And we have loose teas. Everything that is sold at Cafe Ulu, produced by us. We have potato chips from my brother and his two daughters. Symphony potato chips, very good. The two dough girls who deal with our pastries, outstanding, the cookies, everything. You know, my good sister with the flavored popcorn. You know, all of those things are happening at Cafe Ulu. Go online, CAFEULU.com, CAFEULU.com for Cafe Ulu. Also, too, we have Vitality Drink, Ambrosia, my good brother and friend, Novak Young. You can check out his website, CompleteOneBeauty.com, CompleteOneBeauty.com, and you can learn more about these Vitality Drinks. All drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, and other benefits. Hibiscus, ginger, turmeric, chlorophyll, cinnamon, aloe vera, and spirulina. Chemetamorphosis Conference in December, December 7th through the 9th in Washington, D.C. The conference celebrates the 10th anniversary of the ASA Restoration Project, which is the first American African funded archaeological excavation in Kemet. And so we'll be celebrating that, but also too going through the process. I went online, outstanding lineup, even got my good brother Renoko Rashidi's going to be there. So definitely I will be participating. Me and brother Kwaku would plan to take a ride and then go see our good brothers, brother Elliot and brother Richard and brother Ralph. Definitely anxious to meet brother Ralph, a good brother. Appreciate him. I appreciate all of them, Jay and all the other brothers and sisters, Paul, everybody that listens to this program and contributes to this program. Believe me, I thank you all. I really do from the bottom of my heart. And for those who just listen online, thank you. And like I was saying to a person, because he was saying, but do you really care about the listeners? I do care about the listeners. I don't care if people listen or not, because I'm going to do it anyway. So I don't care if they listen or not, but I do care, you know. Today is Veterans Day, and I know people are saying positive things to the men and women who served this country in its time of war. You know, I don't know. I know that even though things got desperate for me when I was living in Norfolk, Virginia, I even tried to join the Navy. Missed the Navy entrance by one, so apparently I wasn't supposed to join the Navy, and thank God I didn't. There's a lot of things that happen in your life that you think back on it, look back on it, and be like, wow, that was a blessing that didn't happen. You know, it was just like when I was talking about Milwaukee with Brother Muhammad this past Friday. We didn't talk too much about, he mentioned A.O. Smith, and he mentioned A.O. Smith being someplace where he was working at. A.O. Smith had a factory there. And A.O. Smith was hiring a lot of our people. It was right in our neighborhood. You know, huge amounts of land that A.O. Smith occupied, huge. And many factories and foundries, they made car frames, all kind of stuff that A.L. Smith made at the time. And, you know, and many of my friends were getting hired, and I didn't get hired. And I had a GED because I got my GED when I dropped out of school before my graduating class. I dropped out because I wasn't going to graduate. They said I would have to go to summer school. I said, bump that, man. So I went and got a GED. And thank God I did, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to join the fire department, you know. So I had my GED, but I just was never hired. I applied twice. And so thank God that I didn't, because not only that, they lost a lot of pensions. So not only did they lose jobs after a certain amount of time, and believe me, those jobs across the Midwest and other places, particularly in the Midwest where there were manufacturing jobs, where they had unions which secured your money, your raises, your benefits, your retirement, your pensions, your other benefits. And those factories and foundries and businesses moved south where there were right-to-work states where they could take advantage of labor and not have to pay those kinds of benefits. And now they're all gone. They're even gone from this part of the country. And now, as you've seen, when I've mentioned this before many times, the worst president of all time, although Trump is going to pass that, is, to me, they're all bad. All of them. Every one of them, your boy included, Barack. Because as we talk about Veterans Day, during Iraq's 8-year reign, he rained down bombs on people in Yemen, Sudan, Iraq, many other places. Since 9/11, since September 11th of 2001, this country, the United States, and its military, all these veterans talking about they're out there fighting for our freedoms. No, they ain't. Ain't nobody about to attack the United Snakes. They're out there because of the selfish and greediness of these crackers, of taking people's resources, of taking people's land. That's why they're out there. They're not out there protecting. All these commercials sicken me. I ain't stood up for this damn anthem. I know, okay, I was a firefighter, and sometimes during those processions, I remember the year after the September 11th inside job that it is, all them folks should be tried and convicted of war crimes. Bush, Rumsfeld, all of Cheney, all of them. All of them. Because I'm going to tell you, and I've every year around that time, and I'll continue to do it. In fact, on 2021, I'm sorry, y'all, I might be in prison. Because I may just go disturb one of these memorials after 20 years. Stop the charade. Stop the madness. Let's come clean. Let's be real. Indict Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz. I could go down the damn line. Indict them for war crimes. Indict them for murder of its own citizens. But since that time, in the wars that America has engaged itself in, they're not. And I know I was listening to NPR, and a brother found his grandfather had fought and died and is buried in, I can't remember, wasn't Germany, but in the Europe. He fought in Europe. As you know, the Second World War was fought in two theaters, as they like to call it, in Europe and in the Pacific, against Germany and Japan and the other Axis, the Allies and the Axis, you know. And they fought, and of course they were buried. And the tragedy of World War One, World War Two, and all the other wars, and any war that this country has ever had, is that we fought as well. We fought to preserve something that was never given to us. We fought when other enemies of this country were treated better than us. We fought. We have a caller. Good morning, caller 447. Good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you are on this planet.
I hear you, Paul. How you doing today, brother?
Brother, I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
Great.
Even better to hear your great show and your voice on this platform. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Like I don't know if you heard me. I was thanking people like yourself and all the other brothers and sisters that listen that may not call in, that just listen on the air or whatever, how they listen. I appreciate it. But you know what, though, Paul? Even if they didn't listen, I'd still be here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I say thank you to the ancestors for providing Brother Oshie. Because I know Brother Oshie can be doing many things with his life. I know Brother Oshie is of that age where he could be spending time with his family.
Yep.
You know, but Brother Oshie gives his time to us, the world, to bring us the truth. So I must say thank you for that.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate
Scotty it. Reed. I say thank you to everybody who contributes, Brother Elliot, Brother Richard, and everybody,
yes,
the contributors. You know, because it's, you know, I don't even think you realize the fantastic contribution you're making to be brave enough to speak the truth, you know, and not be shy away from it. Because many of us, Brother Oshie, are frightened to tell the truth.
Oh, yeah.
We've been mollycoddled into a state of silence.
Right.
So that we are afraid to speak out. And that's one of the biggest weapons they use against us today. But, you know, thank you for not being that shy. Thank you for being the person you are to bring the truth, not just to your family, not just to your people, not just to, you know, your neighborhood or your country. You're bringing the truth to the world.
Well,
and we must remember that this is going all around the world.
Well, I appreciate it, Paul. I really do. And I think at this stage of my life, and more importantly, at this stage of our struggle as African people, you know, either we tell it like it truly is and like it needs to be told, or just shut up. That's how I look at it. You know, if you're not talking about, and like I said, this program is about four things: independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. And to me, if you're not talking about that, you ain't talking about nothing. You know, when they was talking about some other stuff about some folks who are assimilationists and integrationists, you know, the other day, I'm like, ain't nobody want to hear that. Don't nobody want to hear that BS. Don't nobody hear that bull. You know, we need to hear what will elevate our consciousness. We need to hear what will get us to think outside of these imposed boundaries that these crackers have imposed upon us. We need to hear things that are going to liberate our minds, get us to think collectively, get us to believe in ourselves and each other, and not just here in America or on the continent of Africa, but globally. We are an African people. And of course, the enemies of us, Europeans particularly, know that if we unite, if we come together, it's over. It's over for white supremacy. But as Brother Paul has told me, no, it is not. It's European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you for that, Brother Paul.
Well, you know, we all know what you mean, Brother Oshie. And, you know, there's a point in principle here between me and you. There's a point in principle. And let me elevate that point. You know, Brother Oshie, this morning I got the privilege to be invited on a radio station in the UK to discuss a topic I raised on another program with a presenter and a historian. We call him Professor Cecil Gutsmore. He's not actually a professor, but we give him the title because he's very adept at bringing the information we need. But, you know, I took him to point on this Columbus lie, and it is a lie. The lie that he was traveling across the seas and he just ended up in a place which he called the West Indies. The first point I put to him is that there's no Indians in America and there's no Indians in the West Indies. That is a total misnomer.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's a deliberate misnomer. Mm-hmm. And I put it this way. You know, most people don't know that Columbus was a Marinos Jew. And this is not just me saying it, right? You can type it in any your smartphone or your internet, and you will go onto any Jewish website where you can find this information, and they claim him as their own, and they claim others as their own, and they explain what a Marinos Jew is. It's basically someone who had to hide their identity during the Crusades and Inquisition through fear of religious persecution, having their throats cut or being hanged and burnt at the stake, yeah? So that is what a Marinos Jew is. It's those who converted to Christianity at fear of having their throats cut at the sword. Yeah, so that's, and it's important that we know this and fully understand this, because the temperate lie is that he was just on this journey and he just bumped into this place, when it's not true. He was on the search for a Jewish homeland, because even where my parents come from, Brother Ochi, which is Jamaica, right? 99.9% of them are not aware of the relationship we have down in Jamaica with these people, what they call the Jews. They are not aware of the synagogues which have been built within Jamaica. Because I've asked the questions. I'm lucky enough to have my grandparents still alive, my mum's parents. I've asked them. They have no idea about this. But when I make certain terms, like there's a term in Jamaica where they say, don't go there at Matalan land. And any person over the age of, say, 55, say 60, would understand that term in Jamaica. And Matalan was a family in Jamaica, a wealthy family of Jewish descent. And basically what the term means is that where most of their land was, you had to go, had to have permission to go on that land if they had water on that land, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I was explained this by an elder, and you know, it led me to do further research, and very surprised to learn the relationship, how many Jewish was down there in Jamaica. And then to dig into that further, to find the connection between Jamaica and Suriname, which nobody knows. And the connection is that when the Dutch decided to tax their citizens, their Jewish citizens, which were had one of the most successful Jewish slave colonies down in Suriname, right? They fled and moved to Jamaica. And most of us don't even know that. So, you know, these are points which we do need to know in this time, because the children of these people are still very active and they know their history. But we don't know their history. And these are the things that they use against us, because we end up corroborating with these same people, working with them same people, and they are working against our interests 24/7, 365. Because like Neely Fuller says, they stay on code. But we don't recognize the code. Yeah? So that, you know, some people may wonder, well, what is the relevance of going back into that history and articulating it? Well, the relevance is that these people, the children of these people, are still here, and they fully understand the code they play. Yeah, and it goes right down to the fact that in Israel right now, Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a child of one of these people, yeah, wants to join the African Union.
Yes,
which will be an absolute disaster.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not, you know, it's not just a matter of verbally masturbating history. It's a matter of recognizing, like John Henry Cart tells us, that history is basically a map of where we're going today. And you can't negate that fact. So, you know, I fully appreciate the work you put out there. And I know it's my responsibility to take the time out, because this is like, you know, it's not a crucial time for me because I'm self-employed, but it's a money-making time. But it's important to listen and help to spread the word. And it's really heartfelt, you know, welcome to hear that there are brothers around the world and sisters who have this knowledge, because this is special knowledge and not everybody shares, and they can't articulate it, or they haven't got the gumption to recognize the power of it and how it needs to be spread. And just a little thing on 9/11, we got to the point of another debate when the historian raised this argument, just come up. He says that in Iraq, you know, they were down there blowing up these statues and whatever. But these are something, Brother Ochi, I take keen interest in. I take a very keen interest in what happens to our people, not just in my locality, anywhere we are on the planet. I've always had that interest. I want to know what we're doing anywhere. Yeah. And one of the things I recognize is that when you watch the television, the mass media mind conception, mind distortion, called the TV, especially coming out of Hollywood, which is the master of mind misconception, yeah, you've got to watch with your third eye.
That's right.
Because the things they're showing you aren't necessarily the truth, yeah? So they show you this picture down in Iraq where they're blowing up all these statues, yeah? And then later on, I'm watching, I do watch this quite frequently. I don't know if you've got that. I know you've got that over your side. It's called RT, Russian TV. And they tend to, because they're a type of Russian propaganda machine, they try to represent the other side of what the BBC and the ITV and the normal CNN and all the rest of them try to push. Which is good, because you take the both of them and you read between the lines.
Exactly.
And one of the stories, one of the stories they were promoting was the fact that a lot of these artifacts, right, which were supposedly blown up, is ending up on what they call the black market. But let's, for the sake of argument, call it the white market. Yeah? Right? So they're saying, and they're showing proof, they showed a whole documentary, I think it was over about 3 days, of how all these artifacts are turning up. These supposedly ones also been blown up. And they're saying that, really, this is an organized system, right? And you know what? They even said, right, it was supposed to extend into Egypt. So they were going to blow up some tombs and rob the tombs and steal the stuff and put it in their hidden underground chambers so they come out in the next 100 years and benefit from them. Because if you look back in history, antiquity, it was antiquity where the pressures was home, like in search for the, you know, a golden, what do they call it? The cup of Christ.
Right, the Holy Grail.
No, there isn't.
Right, the Holy Grail. Right, the Holy Grail.
These are the things which, are the things which in antiquity, which benefited mankind. And still today, right? And I'll just put just add this last point. I take an interesting game around what you call in America flea markets. We call over here boot sales. I do, because I buy and sell a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Okay,
and
okay.
In African artifacts and bits and pieces I can find. Lots of bits and pieces you find at those places. But anyway, one day I see a white man. He had some very, very... as soon as I looked at him, I knew that the stuff he had on his table, he shouldn't have there. There were total stuff in antiquity that I could just tell straight away. I was interested, but you know, they're very, whenever I've approached people like that, they're very cagey, especially with a black person, because most of the time black people don't stop there. Yeah, mainly white people are trading in our antiquity. Yeah. So, you know, I asked him, you know, well, this is unusual. You have these things on your table and whatever. And he was cagey with the answers. But in truth, right, I recognize the stuff of coming out of that type of loop, because there's no way you could have those stuff on your table and you're not a professional dealer, and why would you be at a so-called flea market?
Exactly,
you would be at a, you know,
right,
a place where these people are,
right? Yeah. Like an auction house, or like an auction house, or some place where
absolutely,
those things are traded. Yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stuff floating about. Yeah. So I was trying to put to our historian that what you saw on your television that was blowing it up, I'm trying to put to you is a deliberate misconception. What's really happening is they are stealing these artifacts, and they are, and there's a plan behind it. There's a whole plan. And I'm saying to you that these are the same people who create these illusions, who create the wars, create the fabrication, right? For the intent, like you said earlier, not just to steal the natural materials, to steal the artifacts as well.
Because
that's what they're doing. Yeah. To put them in some bunker to come out in 50 years time in their museums or wherever
exactly
they place it. And we're not really paying that much attention to these things, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
I appreciate this, Paul.
It all ties in.
Yeah.
And it even ties in, you said something about 9/11, right? And
right.
The thing is, I put it to him again. I says, I've looked into this. From the beginning, people may not share this, but I said, the two planes you see going to the building, how do you know that that wasn't a video reel? How do you know that? Yeah? And, I mean... personally, I think it was. I don't think any planes went into that building. I think it was explosions what took down that building. Yeah.
It was. As a former firefighter, and knowing firefighters, and listening to firefighters who have the courage to speak the truth, there is no doubt that those two towers went down through explosives, through demolition. There is definitely no doubt, Paul, that building number 7
absolutely
went down in its own footprint by demolition. There is definitely no doubt that the plane over Shanksville was shot down. There is definitely no doubt, at least in my mind, that it was not a passenger plane that was flying so fast and so low that when the nose of it hit the Pentagon, that it disintegrated. where you don't find any wings, any tail, any engines. You don't even find a damn black box. So to me, this is one of the just human tragedies, just a overt lie right in your face. And I'm tired of the charade. Like I said, if you heard me say this today, I said by the year 2021, which will be 20 years since that inside job happened, hell, I might get arrested because I'm just tired of these shenanigans. I'm just tired of the false narrative of these memorials and placating to that. And because of that, that's what I was talking about today, because today is Veterans Day here. And because of that, America, United Snakes, have engaged in no official wars, but have dropped bombs on 7 countries. Barack Obama did it. You know Bush did it. And of course, Trump is doing it. And they'll continue to drop bombs on Iraq. They're trying to get Iran. Oh boy, they would love to drop a bomb on Iran. You know? And of course, one of their main allies in helping facilitate this is Israel, the so-called European Jews, the European Jews of Israel that provide military assistance, reconnaissance, all kinds of information, you know. So, to me, it comes to a point. I didn't know about Columbus. I just knew that he was an Italian seeking monies from the Spanish for this particular voyage. And the voyage was not to come to this hemisphere. The voyage was to get to India for the spice trade, to find a better route to get to India, which, of course, that didn't happen. And that's why when he encountered the people he encountered, he called them Indians, because his stupid ass thought he was in India. And unfortunately, that people still call him that to this day. You know, so, I mean, you know, I tell you, Paul, I appreciate this, man. I really do. I'm going to look more into it.
It's like this, yeah. We appreciate the work of Ivan van Sertima. They came before Columbus.
Definitely.
Right? We appreciate the work of John Henry Clark. We appreciate the work of all the great scholars. And
yes,
those books are, and the videos, trust me, have totally revamped my mind and re-educated me and lots of us.
Right.
So trust me, this work is traveling far. Neely Fuller, I've spoken to Neely Fuller on platform, and he doesn't realize how his work is traveling around the world. He doesn't realize, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That somebody, you know, show him how it's reverberating. But it is reverberating.
Yes, and it is.
This is one of the reasons I think they've come out with this thing, Black Identity Extremist thing, because they recognize that the work is having its effects, and it's
right.
A great thing.
Right.
Brilliant thing. Yes.
Yep.
Never underestimate the power of truth.
That's
Nobody
right.
Should.
That's
because
right.
It's absolutely having an effect. And you know as well as I do, they listen to all these programs. They listen to and take a keen interest in what's going on. And they recognize what's happening. They're not silly.
Oh, yeah.
They're not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it is having an effect. No matter what people think, it definitely is. Because they don't really want us to look on this global scale of things. They want us to keep our
right.
eyes on our little problems.
Sure.
Create our eyes on the soap operas they put on the TV and the misinformation. That's where
sure.
they want our heads to be.
No, they want you looking at pop stuff, you know,
absolutely.
Entertainers, sports. They want you to look at everything that they want you to look at that really has no deeper meaning and relevance in your life. Yes, entertainment, but in terms of your life, in terms of your quality of life, in terms of your health and overall well-being, no. Sports don't have a damn thing, or entertainment, movies and theater and singing and none of that. But what does is finance, education, and all these other things that help sustain life. We got another caller. Hang with me, Paul, okay? We got another caller. 646-646. Good morning.
Okay, Brother Ochi and Brother Paul.
Hey, what's up, Jay?
You were just talking about this filthy, no good stick in your rugal devil wanting to bar people. I was listening to the Wilbur Leon show on Saturday, man, and he brought up that point in regards to how, you know, Michelle Obama was so upset with the wing nut in, you know, the White House because of him and that Bertha Nonsense, and she felt as though her kids were threatened. And Brother Leon and the guests brought up the point, well, you know, that's a serious contradiction because Michelle Obama never came out about the thousands of kids that were murdered in Iran and Iraq and Libya, Syria, and places like that at the hands of her punk-ass husband. You know what I mean? And let me tell you, brother, our people called up that show and lost their effing mind. You know, justifying that woman. It is absolutely sick how we have these scoffing fans of those two Negroes that don't give a damn about African people. You know what I mean? We just ride to the defense of people who, when it's all said and done, will cut me in your throat for the Yoruba and at the behest of the Yoruba. But we see them as our loving brothers and sisters. If you look at Barack Obama and his behavior towards African people, the bastard should be classified as an enemy. And you could put it in historical context and show it and prove it. You don't treat your brothers and sisters in the manner in which that bastard has treated African people.
At home and, of course, on the continent, throughout the diaspora, you're right.
I'm talking about African people. They all, as far as I'm concerned, we all the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't make no distinction.
No, we're all
but,
one.
You know, it's just the fact that something is seriously wrong with the people who identify with their oppressor the way that we do. It's just like every time I hear somebody talk about America in such glowing terms as a black person, I think they're crazy.
Well,
first of all, you don't even understand the relationship between America and your black bond. It's like, you know, I was telling my daughter, how could you present to me you wanting to have a relationship with a Yoruba and you expect me to go along with that nonsense with all of the history that I've taught you and with all of the history that you've read? If you at this time can't understand that he's your perpetual moral enemy, there's something wrong with you, and I think you need to stay away from me for a while.
Well, that,
because I don't want to hear that.
Well, see, that's,
well,
see, that's,
that
see, you see, Jay, that's a pathological, Jay, that is a pathological denial of reality and history, and that's what our people suffer. We have the Stockholm Syndrome. We have the Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. You know,
I mean, I'm asking you, I'm saying, why would you even want to have a discussion on something that ridiculous and that crazy? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to give me agenda? I asked her, what kind of discussion could me and you honestly have? How could you ever take any type of position like that? I mean, I don't understand what you want to debate. You want me to show you? You want to show me that your debating skills are getting better? That you've been reading? That you've been doing whatever you're doing? So now you gotta come mess with me? You know what I mean? Now I told her let's have the discussion about maybe something else, but we can't never have a discussion in regards to the Yoruba on that level.
no way, shape, or form. Yeah. Because any position that you take, I'll disown you on it. You know, that's the quickest way. That's the homosexuality is the quickest way that I'll disown you. It won't deal with you. I have no filter when it comes to that. I'll never accept it. I'll never accept no relationship between my child and a Yoruba. No! Now, if you want to work with a Yoruba, you want to have a Yoruba as a so-called friend, I'm questioning it, but I ain't getting caught up in that because that's, you know, whatever. As long as you don't bring the cracker in my house, or if I'm at your house and the cracker come by and you tell the cracker that he got to come back later or her got to come back later, that's cool. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you the funny story right quick. One time I went over to her house and she had one of those devils in her house. Do you know, I was so proud of her when she told the devil, you got to leave, my pops is here. And, you know, he ain't hanging with white folks. He don't want to be around white folks in the pleasantry of his home. You know what I mean? And, you know, even though it's my home, it is his home because it's my pops. Do you know the cracker looked crazy as hell, but she got her behind up and left? And do you know when my daughter saw her the next time, she was very upset with my daughter, and my daughter had to tell her, hey, look, man, that's my baba. You know what I mean? He come before you.
And everybody. That's right.
Every week. It had the nerve to tell her, your father seems to be a racist. She said, yes, he is. He don't like none of y'all white folks. I said, see? So I know, it's like I told her, I know you just coming over to mess with me because you just want to upset my nerves because you ready to ask me for something that I may tell you no. So you want to set me up for this. But, you know, she just laughed. I said, get out of here. You lost your mind. But that's how we are. We want to justify. It's just like my old lady got mad at me one day because I told her I didn't want no white man in my house fixing my plumbing. What's wrong with you? I said, get a brother. You know, I told her you can't get a brother to get a Puerto Rican. But I don't want no Yoruba in my damn house. Get out of here. It's just like if you come to my house and you white and you delivering something, I tell you to leave it at the front door. I'll bring it in. It ain't, you know, never that heavy or that big that you can't bring it in. No, I don't allow white people in my house.
I hear you, Jay. Well, listen, we're about to take a break. We're going to come back from that break. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You'll be right back, brothers and sisters. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays is Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Fridays, from 8 until it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive. Once again, with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday evening, from 7 p.m. till, it's Brother Elliot and Brother Richard with Time for an Awakening. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Jay, you still with me, man? Brother Jay?
Yeah, I'm still with you. I'm still with you, bro.
I appreciate that. Appreciate you being here, man.
Oh, Oshie.
Yeah.
Oshie, let me ask you. What's going on with that governor's race down in the middle, man? Are your people up in arms thinking that the daddy taking them something for you and is the daddy giving that sister any support? Because, you know, this is a prime, candidate for them feminists to come out and support a black woman, something they never really do.
Right.
Now is the time where we could really hold them accountable for their BS in regards to, you know, our so-called allyship.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. Like here in Florida, they are adamant about every single vote being counted. It is already a recount in Florida. What they're trying to do here in Georgia is put it into a runoff election, get to a point where Kemp does not have the necessary amount that he needs to declare victory and cause a runoff. That's what they're trying to do. That's why she wants every vote counted. But, I mean, you know, let's be real. This has looked ugly. This whole election process, this, to me, you know, even as a child growing up, and I know Jay and listeners has a child, romanticize about good old days and everything was cool, you know, but in reality, there has never been and there never will be any damn good old days for African people here in this country specifically. You can romanticize all of the hell you want, but there's never been in this country, because America has never been great and America has never embraced us. It has only manipulated, undermined, and used us. That's why on this Veterans Day, when all the people are talking about thank you for your service and all that bull, you know, I was listening to NPR when a brother was talking about his grandfather fighting in Europe and help liberating some country in Europe during the Second World War, you know, and now he's buried there. And apparently, I don't know if he wants his the body to be exhumed and be brought back here and buried here. I don't know. But the bottom line is we all know the mistreatment and the ill treatment that we have had and we fought in every war this country has ever engaged in. Everyone. And after that war, it was back to business as usual and our place and back to boy, get in your place. Know your place. I'll call you when I need you again. You know, I remember as a young person and learning our history, and I remember us talking about Dory Miller. Dory Miller was a cook during the Pearl Harbor incident. and he gained prominence because he jumped on a gun and he shot down a number of Japanese airplanes and so forth, and became a hero because of it, of his valiant effort. And to me, I'm not celebrating nobody that has fought valiantly for these crackers. It's just like voting. I don't vote. I've never voted for a cracker in my life. I will never vote for a European in my life. So to me, no, you know, don't talk about voting to me. Well, if you don't vote, you ain't got nothing to say. I don't want to hear anything you got to say because you don't vote. No, no, you shouldn't have anything to say because your ass voted and you put them in. Me, I didn't vote, so I got a lot to say. In fact, let me say this. None of my ancestors died for me so I can vote for the Caucasian, for the very people who put us in this mess, the very people that killed my ancestors. And not only that, Jay and listeners, not only that, or to vote into a system that we can never change. To vote into a system we can never change. The only vote I'm down with is a plebiscite or a vote to deal with reparations or how we're going to secede from this country. That's the only vote I'm down with. We got a caller. Caller, good afternoon or good morning, caller, for you, calling from Bakersfield, California. Good morning.
Greetings. This is Bomani. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. Brother Bomani, yes. Tayembe. Oh, good morning. Okay. You snuck up on me with a different one. Brother Bomani, for those listeners, you know I promote AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani is about to make another trip to Ghana. He is leaving this Friday. It is a abbreviated trip to based upon how he usually goes. This is a 9-10 day trip. He usually is there for at least 2 weeks, and it's starting this Friday and until the 26th of November. Talk about the trip, Brother Bomani.
Hey, Brother Oshie, I'll let you conduct the interview.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate you, man. Continue to listen, brother. Peace. Talk about the trip, Brother Bomani.
Hi, greetings, family. This is Bomani Tamba calling from outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And our business is called Africa for the Africans Tourism Investments. And I've been doing organized tours to Ghana from December 2006 up until now, 2018. For the last 12 years, I've taken 14 groups already to Ghana. This is the 15th group, and this will be a total number of 360 different people across the 15 tours I've taken. We've had tours as low as 8-9 people and as high as 42-43 people over the years. And this journey is dedicated to give you a full feel of a country like Ghana, 3 days in Accra, 3 days in Kumasi, 3 days in Cape Coast, Elmina, and to add all of the main things that we're looking to connect to when we're dealing with Africa, our roots, culture, business, investment, nightlife, shopping, networking, and all those wonderful things. It's compact inside of a nice, incredible itinerary of 9 days in Ghana versus the normal 12 days that we do. And the only thing that we don't have included in this tour is the 2 days in Takoradi and then the extra day in Accra, which is Prom, to see the memorial wall by our good brother Jerry, which we only have exclusively set up for our May tour. Because in November, my goal is to get us to go to other countries, like what we have next year, which is South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana, November 22nd to December 4th, 2019.
Wait a minute, Brother Bomani. Brother Bomani, you're saying you're going to go to those countries or just a country?
No, we're going to those countries. Those are the countries we're going to next year. I was basically saying that the May tour is what I have set up for Ghana every May.
Right.
Work to that journey. That way I can use the October, November time frame to do other tours to other countries.
Okay.
So I've been using the November date as of last year around Thanksgiving, which has worked out great. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've been able to produce back-to-back tours. Last year it was 43 of us, and this year it's 38 of us.
You have 38 this year?
Yes, 38 of us this year.
Okay.
So the time frame really works out good to do tours. So that's what I have set up for coming on next year, those countries in Southern Africa in 2019 and 2020, around the same time frame. I have a different setup, which is more Kenya and Tanzania for 2020 November, using the same kind of dates.
Okay, so next year, 2019, South Africa, and then in 2020, and then November of 2020, you're looking at East Africa.
Exactly, Kenya and Tanzania. So those are the flow of that's what I have. I like to just do Ghana every May and rotate between Southern Africa and East Africa every other year for November.
Wow.
And then, I'm hoping that other black people can step up their game and go to all those other countries that, that are left out. I tell people it's a big continent. Don't expect one or two groups of people to take you all over the continent, because we have our project dedicated to do in Ghana, which is our base. And, and finally opening other markets. But the concentration in general is Ghana. And the same thing I tell other black people that are looking to do anything in Africa. You still have to find one country and get things built and established. It's fine traveling to other countries and going there to do certain things and expanding your market. But at the same time, too, the focus has to be on one country. And especially if you don't have the numbers you need, because other than that, you spread yourself thin, and then you're all over the continent and have nothing established.
That's great, man. That's beautiful that you've taken our people, over 260 of our people, in the 12 years that you have been doing this. This is fantastic, and I definitely plan to one day go with you. I mean, next year sounds great, to South Africa and to Zimbabwe. Where else you going to go in Southern Africa next year? November?
Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana. And it's actually 360 people along the 12 tours along the 15 tours in the 12 years. So it comes out to be about in the mid-20s of group size, which, you have to just always just let people know, because it's not easy to get a group of people beyond like 3 or 4 to come anywhere with you, including Africa. You can't even get a group of people to come with you to a meeting about the situation going on in our community.
I'm sorry to laugh, brother, because you're right, man. You know you're right, Bomani. That's sad, ain't it? It's true. Yeah. But that's fantastic, man. So I applaud you, and I thank you for the work that you have done, making us understand that Africa is for Africans. Marcus Garvey consistently said it, but you are demonstrating it. And you are bringing our people there to so they could see for themselves, and not just a specific area, but really around the continent, which is dynamic. Have you had a tour to Kemet or Egypt recently?
I've been to Egypt with Dr. Rano Karashi in 2004, but now I don't do tours to like Egypt. The country closest to that would be Ethiopia, which I removed from the tour list. So
okay.
I'm really down to a few countries, and
okay.
That's for this. That's to avoid any more cancellations. I've had so many cancellations, like Senegal and Gambia. That's a classic cancellation tour that I've had, and then other countries. The countries that have worked out for me is literally just Ghana.
Okay.
And I got interest in Kenya, Tanzania, and South Africa. Those are the three biggest interests that I have to take people to.
Okay. Cool.
And then Togo and Benin works when you do Ghana, but it doesn't work without Ghana. Togo and Benin is not really a good setup to go to Africa without including Ghana. And
right.
If you just do Togo, Benin, and Nigeria, that's even worse.
That's even worse, huh?
Yeah, because you're not getting authentic culture, and you're not getting authentic things, and that's what Ghana brings more than any other country. And that's why we have so much things over here that's connected to Ghana. We have the red, black, green, and gold. The energy and the most important aspects of Ghana is this Kwame Nkrumah.
Yes.
Without Kwame Nkrumah, Ghana is not the same. Ghana, you could compare Ghana to a country that no one even thinks about, Swaziland.
Right.
Namibia, that's another country people ain't even thinking about.
No.
Cameroon, you could just name them. There's plenty of them that I can pop off the top of my head. Mali.
Although Mali, has a deep history, of course, Timbuktu, and some other things that are in Mali, but people just don't go.
People are not trying to go to Mali on a tour to Africa. No. They'll just talk about the greatness of Timbuktu and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, just like Sudan, you talk about the greatness of Sudan as far as it has more pyramids and more historical artifacts and energy than Egypt. But you have people go to Egypt, but not to Sudan.
Right.
It's unfortunate.
Right.
That's what it is. But the more of us got to get into tourism and get into this world of just present information and connecting us, you know, the continent will eventually open up, because I did hear about the African Union are pushing for other countries to come on board to make their country more friendly to Africans in the diaspora, which I think it should always be the number one priority.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Go ahead.
That have an interest in seeing Africa grow. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about our brothers and sisters on the African continent, but when you are on the outside, it's a little bit different. When you're on the inside, you don't see as much blessings and see certain things. What you do see when you're inside the continent of Africa is you see a population of our entire continent fighting to go to those embassies, you know, England, France.
That's right.
American embassies trying to get visas and things like that.
Yep.
But when you see the black people in African diaspora, you see a large percentage of us that's dedicated to the wicked white system here, and we love going to our jobs every day and making it what it is. But beyond that, you see a significant increase of energy of black people from the time that we've been taken away from our continent. As time go along, more and more of us want to go back and have that energy to go back. And then the people that are looking to go back, they're bringing certain resources that can change the dynamics.
Yes.
But you know, that's what I was talking about, that it's not just okay for the Ghanaian president or the government to come up there every once in a while. And they play the little side trick games. Like one minute, the Ghana president is talking about, he's right there with the French president, and he's talking all of the smack and talking, and then the French president is looking at him like, Negro, you talk all this stuff now, but later on you're going to come to my office and beg me for some resources and things like that. So it's like we clearly can see that, you know, he's playing that game, and then he's trying to play the game, you know, when they just rolling out the red carpet for, you know, all these so-called dignitaries and famous people from England and France and princesses and queens and first ladies and things like that. And then you look like people like myself and our group, we come there, ain't nobody rolling out nothing for us. And we come there with our boots strapped up, ready to connect into the continent and do the work and build energy. You know, we just want our people to connect with the energy that's real. Don't just look at what, you know, the government is saying and all the things they're talking about. 2019 is the year of return. You know, it's like, is the year of us returning to give you all of our money? Or is it the year of us connecting as a people to build something in Africa?
I hope that's what it is. But you're right.
Well, I think just like the Joseph Project, you know, come to, you know, you start talking about Joseph, you know, talking about his brother was sold into slavery, and it's just like us in African diaspora. And it's like, it's cool that you say all that stuff and try to build an interest, but it's like, put things in place to show us that you want us to connect, and it's not about just getting African American dollars.
Who's doing the Joseph Project? Or is that?
Oh, no, this is like 10 years ago. This is like in 07, 06, 07.
Oh.
You know? But I'm saying is every few years, the Ghana government and the Ministry of Tourism come up with a little botched job of trying to build marketing to get people to come to Ghana, but don't necessarily deliver anything. I've been here in Atlanta where, you know, you have the Minister of Tourism coming, or you have ambassadors coming, and you pay the $50 or $100 for the dinner or whatever it is, independence. And then you just wonder, what did I just do? Did I just waste my time? And then you realize that, you know, when you have the ambassador of Ghana coming, he's there and he's trying to only talk to the people that's going to write in some checks.
Right.
He's not care about, like, you know, regular people like myself who's literally doing things in the country and bringing the energy in the country.
Right.
Like, I brought a lot of business in the country. You talk about bringing 200-something people to the country over a period of time, and people buying land and people spending money and paying for hotels and buses, donating to schools, buying, you know, putting our money together to do certain things in the country. You know,
sure.
We just get overshadowed and overlooked. And, you know, it's like, you know, you hear the Ghanaian government talking about easy visa and the right to abode. It's like, I'd explain that stuff and update it on your website so people don't have to call people like myself and ask me how the easy visa work. I tell them, I don't know, because there's nothing. It's just the president that said that, you know. Visa is done by the regular process. Other than that, you can go to their embassy website You know, it's like they're quick to say things but don't back it up with anything else.
And
so people and myself have the level of interest for us in African diaspora to make sure I represent my brothers and sisters correctly that's looking to connect there and have less of the drama as possible.
Right. And you know, I know I just read another piece about the right of return, the right of abode, and so forth. And all that's good, but how real is it? You know?
Yeah, I think it's real. It's just it's not implemented as it should, and it's just being pushed for marketing purpose because Ghana know that they have the advantage over all the other countries because of Kwame Nkrumah and because of the independence and all the other things that, you know, we've talked about. And they know that they're losing momentum because of issues going on in the country. And, you know, because you do see a lot of black people from the African diaspora that are that have made their attempts to repatriate, and they're coming back. You know, I'm not saying the numbers are heavy now, but they're coming back because some of them feel like they've been sold a dream. Because some people literally just went there by themselves and went there to try to do certain things in the country. But at the end of the day, you realize that it's not that simple. You know, the government can say that the country's open for you to come there, but, you know, they're not going to tell you that you have to, you know, there's no welfare system and there's no situation where you just can come and just go get a job. You know, you have to come and bring your business and be able to get your own resources to get things done, because it's not like you just, me and you and I move to Ghana and then we go to the bank and the bank gives us a $50,000 loan to do what we need to do.
That ain't happening, is it?
Not at all.
That ain't happening. You know, because I'm down with repatriation, and I'm looking to do so. In fact, no, I'm not looking. I'm going to, you know. I don't know if you saw that movie last year, was pretty big. Get Out. Remember that movie?
Get Out.
Yeah.
Get Out. What kind?
Yeah. Well, I took it to heart. That's what we need to do. Get out. You know. If we are going to be a people who are self-determining and self-respecting and working with one another and working on a global scale and to control the resources that are under the feet of African people, we have to get out. We have to get out of here. We have to get out of here. And not just do I mean that physically. More so, I mean it mentally. Because you can still be here, but if your mind is right and you know that the real thing for us is Africa's resources and African land should be controlled by Africans, but yet you don't want to leave what you have here, that's fine. But support what we're trying to do on the continent. Support what you are trying to do with bringing our people to Africa so they can see for themselves. You know, and begin to possibly make a difference or possibly even go to the continent and do something substantial, you see, because that's what needs to be discussed by us as a people in this day and age. That's what needs to be discussed because that's not the conversation, Brother Bomani, unfortunately. That's the conversation on this program. But that's not the general conversation, because the general conversation still is that's them over there and this is us. And we trying to do our best right here in America to be as big of a player here that we can be. And that'll never happen, because we will never, ever have what we should have in this country. It's not designed for us. That's why we need to get out and go home and work with brothers and sisters on the continent who have the same mindset. Get rid of the despots. Get rid of all the ignorance. Get rid of all the superstition. Get rid of all the other ones who are in on the continent and taking the resources and building things. And later when you can't afford them, they'll take them. Get rid of the people who are marrying African women so they can stake a claim to land and resources in Africa. Get rid of them. That's my contention. That's my feelings. That's my drive. Because I want to see, like our ancestors talked about, that African people are in control of Africa. African people are in control of African lives. African people in the diaspora are coming home to Africa. They don't want to leave. They don't try to get out. They don't go to the U.S. Embassy or the British Embassy to seek asylum or to try to get out. No, they want to be in Africa. Brother Bomani, did I lose you? I don't know what happened. I hope I'm still being heard. Oh, okay. Let me try to do this. I think, Brother Bomani, is that you? Are you still with me? Brother Bomani, can you still hear me? I don't know. I think I've lost. I'll have to do this, brothers and sisters. You stay right there. I'm going to try to get us back online. You stay right there. We'll be right back. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. I hope you can hear me. Brother Bomani, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still with you.
All right. Something happened. I apologize. I know that happens sometimes with electronics. You think you're talking and you think you're being heard. And next thing you know, I'm looking up at my screen and it's like, whoa, what's up? So, well, anyway, what I was saying, and I don't know what you heard me say, but I just went on a little tirade because I don't know, brother. I love Africa and I love Africans. And there's nothing more important to me than seeing Africans being self-determining, liberated, independent, and of course, sovereign. That's my main objective. That's why every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern or 10 to 12 Central, 9-11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any of the time, that's what I'm talking about. But more importantly, you have exemplified that. You have exposed brothers and sisters, over 200 of our brothers and sisters, 260 of our brothers and sisters to the continent.
Yeah, 363.
I'm sorry.
360.
360. Oh, I stand corrected. Over 360. It's even better. And how many would you say have repatriated? Although you did say before I had that mix up, you did say that some of the brothers and sisters have come home, have come back to the U.S. out of Ghana.
We don't have a lot of people moving there, but I mean, I've had several people move there, but it's not, those are not the ones that have came back. It's just people in general that will go to the country and, you know, they're either going by themselves or bringing their family. And, you know, they heard all about the stuff going on in Ghana, repatriation, nation building, come to Ghana, and you know, they answer the call and they go, and then they realize it's not what it is. And that's why I bring people on an organized tour where they're educated about all the basic process of visas, business, how it works there, the situation where, you know, where you just tell them, men and women, when you go there, maybe people will meet you and they say they love you, they want to be with you, and maybe it's not what they say, and maybe, you know, and all the elements of things that goes on. That way, you know, we're prepared. Worst thing is that we just have, if we just have a fantasy about going to Africa and we get there, then we realize, oh, it's not like that. So I try to let people know up front that it's about works and building. Right. You know, we do have a feature where we can build there. We can look at it that way, or we can look at it as an undeveloped country and, you know, we need to go back to America and enjoy our life in America. But it's just really up to the people that are ready to dedicate their life to the future. And they have a better chance because we have laid down a foundation for them and build context and build the elements of things in the country for where they can really be connected to and make a difference.
Well, I appreciate that. And I know I've been to Ghana many times. And in fact, I've always said that if you want to go to Africa, you should go to Ghana first.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's why I promote what you're doing. I'll be, you know, every time that you do something, I'll promote it, or I'll even just mention your website and so forth, because that's what this program is about. I want our people to repatriate. I want us to go home. I want us to manage the resources and land that is on the continent, not just Ghana or Nigeria or Cameroon or South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, whatever, Tanzania, Kenya, whatever. I want us to have management on the continent. I want the continent to be the vision that Kwame Nkrumah stated, or Patrice Lumumba, or Sheikh Anta Diop, a Federated States of Africa, where Africans work together on the continent to provide for Africans. Not just a country, not just a group, not just a family or clan, but African people, period. You know? Because of all the problems that the continent has been having since Arabs and Europeans, through colonialism and intimidation and all the other things, we are a fragmented people. We're scattered and we're fragmented and we're self-hating because of what has happened to us. And I would love for us to be purged of that, to begin to respect ourselves, respect one another, love ourselves, trust one another, to build for ourselves and our future. Everybody wants a piece of Africa. And it's like when I end my program, every program I end with, you know, trying to help us understand, like what Stephen Biko said, you know, the greatest weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And I'm not just talking about, because our program is dedicated to freeing the African mind, but it's also dedicated to freeing the land that Africa has, the M-I-N-E, not just the M-I-N-D, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, can't do without, and don't want to pay for. Africa is not poor. Africa is the richest continent on the planet. The people are poor because the people have been made to be poor. And to me, if African leadership needs to come under that kind of mindset of a collective leadership, not just what's good for Kenya or what's good for Nigeria. That's why, Bomani, that's why I have a problem with Nigeria. You know?
Yeah.
Because Nigeria had the potential, and Nigerians had the potential to be, or to show the way for the rest of the continent. But they chose graft and corruption instead.
Yeah, and we have to look at it as a choice, because at the end of the day, that's what it was. It was a choice that, you know, that specific country and its government decided to do, and, you know, and think about themselves and think, you know, not the rest of the African people in the world. And, you know, it's just like I talked about. It's like Nigerians brag about how much doctors, scientists, lawyers, engineering, chiefs, or whatever they have in America.
Right, in America.
And I'm
in Europe,
guys,
right.
Got the worst country in Africa, quote-unquote the worst country in Africa, based on population and based on resources that you can actually do things in a country. Now, there's some countries that don't have a lick of anything going on for themselves, and I can understand why they're in that situation, but I can never, ever, ever, ever understand why Nigeria is in the situation it has, based on what they have and based on, you can quote unquote saying that it's a group of maybe the smartest black people based on, you know, like if you say, like, you can compare them to like the Chinese as far as brain power and engineering skills and things like that, you know?
Right, because you see them in the diaspora. They're some of the smartest people. Okay. They acing the SATs in Britain. I remember reading about a family in Britain that all of their children were dynamic and so forth. They were all from Nigeria, you know, and even here. I don't give a damn about them doing great things in Europe or great things in the United States. I want their ass to do something great on the continent. I want them to do something great in their country. You see, we have a caller. Let's just take a call, Brother Mamani, okay? 602. Good afternoon.
Yes. Yes, Brother Ocean, Brother Bomani, Brother Marcus here.
Hey, Brother Marcus. Marcus.
Love the accent.
Respect, my brother. You know, what Brother Bomani say about those politicians, you know. You see, the politicians them in Africa, a lot of them in bed with the Western world. And that's why they don't want to see us there, you know. It's not the people, you know. It's not the populace. The people love us. But these damn politicians, them, they don't want to see us there because they know they can compete with us, our brain trust. So they say they threw a monkey wrench in it. But once we align ourselves with the people, you see, and agitate the people will sweep their ass out. I'm telling you. You see? So we just got to keep on keeping on on the track where we are. We're on the right track. We are on the right track as a people. You know, and I love what you're doing, Brother Bomani, because
I do
that
too.
Is the solution for black people.
I do too. I love what Brother Bomani's doing, and I support him.
So you keep on keeping on, good brother. We behind you, and we're going to win this struggle. In spite of what you say, their stuff is on the way out. Okay? It's just a matter of time now. It's cracking at the seams. You see it cracking here in America. It's cracking in Europe. They and they will out. So we just got to keep on keeping on. Thank you, good brothers. You take care.
Excellent, brother. Appreciate your energy. That's, you know, that's what we got to do. We got to handle our business. But like you said, Brother Oshia, it's like, you know, you're not really focused about what Nigerians or anyone else, you know, like I'm not worried about what the Jamaicans in Jamaica doing. Jamaicans in America doing. I'm not worried about all these other black groups of people and the greatness and the good things that we do in this country. Because, you know, a lot of times when we come here, we are productive as a people. But that's not the question. The question is like, are we going to be productive in our own nations? You know,
yes.
The Jamaicans, the Jamaica, the Haiti, the Ghana, the Nigeria, you know, and so on. Are we going to, you know, the quote unquote, the more popular black countries that we hear about like all the time? You know, it's like, are we going to go back to those countries and do what we need to do as black people? For the most part, probably not, because, you know, if life is good in America and Europe, like I have lots of family members from Jamaica, that's in England, and, you know, they want to go back to Jamaica and do things, and then some of them just want to stay in Europe and enjoy the life.
Right.
But realistically, I know our heart would always be being somewhere tropical, because, you know, I mean, you come from somewhere like Jamaica, Haiti, Ghana, or Nigeria, like some of the most tropical countries with everything that you can think of. And then you end up in Toronto, Canada, England.
With a big ass coat. Hey, Bomani, with a big ass coat on.
Exactly. Like, or it was like some of our folks that live in the northern part of the state, like in New York and Boston.
Right. Where it's about to snow on them right now. You know.
You know, once that snow hits you, you're going to think about being back in those countries. Like, oh, man, I remember I was in Haiti and I was at the beach and, you know, I was just tropical. I was going up there getting my coconut, getting my mango.
Right.
And enjoying. You know, you're going to think about those things. And I've been here for 30 years as of December coming up. My family, we moved in 1988, December 1st, and a million years can go by. It would not change me from remembering that I came from somewhere tropical. And once I'm here, it's like you have to deal with all these things. And you're like, you know, you appreciate the money and the opportunity, but you're like, you got somehow I got to get back to my tropics. I got to get back home. And for people like me, home is not Jamaica anymore. Home is like Ghana, the African continent, because we need to do more on African content. A strong African content can support the energy of Jamaica, Haiti, Nigeria, Ghana, and so on. Individual nations.
Well, that's just like Marcus Garvey said. What? Give up a continent for an island? I'm not going to give up a continent.
Like that. There's no way. That doesn't make no sense at all.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the fight always has to be for Africa.
Exactly. And that is because what is in Jamaica, Cuba, Dominican Republic, I could go on, Barbados, Bahamas, America, Central America, South America, all of that is Africans. Africans taken out of Africa and transported to those places and mingling with the inhabitants of those places, some in a positive way and sometimes in an unfortunate way. But that's the reality. We are one Africa. We are one African people. Oh, yes, Bomani, when you go to one Africa, when you go to Cape Coast Dungeon and Elmina Dungeon, say hello to my good friend and sister Amakus for me.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely am because I communicate with you. Last I talked with her, she's in Rwanda, so you know I got to go pick her brain as far as how Rwanda is and maybe and find out from if I can go there and do some tourism.
Okay.
I heard it's like an upcoming African country.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most technically advanced African country out there.
Very
modern day so-called Canada.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Oh, you know what? I would like to go. I'm going to go on a trip with you soon. There's no doubt about that, brother. Because your prices are very good, competitive, and I see what you're doing. I'm definitely going to do that. So I'm not just going to support you in this way. I'm going to support you seriously, you know. But I did read about Rwanda, very clean, you know, very organized, you know, and so forth. So that's a place that I you know. But there are other places on the continent that are, you know, I'm just partial to Ghana because I've been there. I've made some connections with Ghanaians, particularly the people in the Ghanaian Fire Service. I know how to get around. I've been to the northern region. Like I said, the only place I haven't been is Tikrati, you know. But
I go see what's going on out there.
Yeah, I look forward to that, seeing that, you know. But I've been to Tamale and Moli Park and, I mean, all around Ghana, I love it. I love the people. Even when I traveled at night, Brother Bomani, I never was fearful, you know, like in some other countries where, you know, you're out there at night and then because of the economic conditions, you have marauders or bandits, you know.
Love it, man.
You know, so.
Pirates.
Yep, pirates. I'm serious. You know. So, I'm so thankful for what you are doing, you know. And I know there's other travel agencies that are, you know, doing somewhat of the same thing. But, no, I say for you because you're talking about repatriation. You're talking about investments. You're talking about making those connections. It's just not going there and seeing on a site like a tourist. Like you're making the connection. You're saying to us as Africans here in America and anywhere else that this is home for us. Check it out. Make the connections. Make the connection with our brothers and sisters there. Talk with the brothers and sisters there. You know, begin to establish those relationships. You know, so I love it. I really do, and I wish you great success, man, in all of the future endeavors that you have. And I know next year in South Africa and Zambia and so forth, that's going to be a dynamic trip around this time next year. And then in 2020, Kenya and other East African countries, that's even more just as dynamic as the West African and Southern African tour. What about a Central African tour? You're going to possibly do something like that?
No, that's what I'm saying. Other black people need to step their game up and do these kind of business. Tourism is wide open for black people in America and black people from the African continent and the ones from the African continent who move here. Like you may have a list of Ghanaians, people from the Congo here. You know, it should be there. They have to take the level of responsibility up, especially when they meet black people in America and connect them and say, hey, I can put together energy for you to share what's going on in my country and the investments and things that will benefit benefit us as a people.
Right.
And that's one of the biggest disappointments of my own brothers and sisters. We find white people doing more business and more tourism in Africa, taking more of our people, taking more black people to Africa than us itself.
Is that like, right?
You know, I talked about the number of people I take there, but then there's so many other white business that are taking so much black people to like Ghana.
Wow.
For money.
Hey, what's up, Jay? Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, listen, I got a quick question for Bomani.
Go ahead, Jay.
With all of your travels to Ghana, have you been able to yet identify an industry that black people from here in Ghana could work hand in hand in building so that we could have the type of trade and the type of industry so we could go back and forth?
I mean, yeah, I mean, those things are there, but my point to black people in general is there's many opportunities and options for us. It's like, we just got to do it. And, you know, even when I first started going to Ghana in 2006, I mean, you know, you have, you know, and I didn't know about certain things. I've always had people share information about investment and things like that. But, you know, the reality of it is like, if people are not willing to get up and go to these countries, they're going to miss out on information. They're going to miss out on the clarity of what to do. And then, like I was saying, the Ghanaians that come here, and if they're not connecting with black people in America to do certain things, then that's another problem. So these are the reasons why you have.
But could you give me an idea of what would be like two things that, I mean, that we could invest in?
Like example, import export. We live here, right, and Ghanaians are in Ghana. Import and export, sending over ships full of stuff that's made in Ghana, and us buying it and paying for it and sending back the resources in Ghana, or the things that we have here in America that maybe is not so accessible in Ghana, we send over. I mean, so even an import-export operation is simple. I have a room full of people in Ghana at a business conference. Most of them are born in America, and some of them are coming with me on tours, and some of them are already living there. And there's also Ghanaians and other people around, and different people have business. So you create an environment for people to do business together, but the problem is people not stepping their game up to do the business. So we have identified like all major industries, from technology to manufacturing, of what people can get involved with. And at the end of the day, it doesn't get done. So it's up to us.
So that's what the basic problem is, you know, people from here being in a position to accept the product and distribute it, and the same over there. So it seems like it's a lack of cultural communication, because like you said, that's what I don't understand. Because I know Brother Marcus was talking about cashews. You know what I mean? I've been noticing to where there's now an issue in regards to the kente cloth, the production of kente cloth in China, and then, you know, the production of kente cloth in Africa. So I guess we got to figure out, you know, how we can put together a small group of people. It may just be 5 or 10 people here in America and 5 or 10 people over there, and, you know, just be in a situation to get the product and then figure out how you're going to be able to distribute it in order to move forward. I mean, that to me, it boils down to this: too many hands and too few workers.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always the issue. Yeah. Too many chiefs and no Indians to move forward. Because, you know, the funny thing is, Brother Bomani, he got the plans. He know what to do. It wouldn't take no time for Bomani to put 5 serious African people here together with 5 serious African people there. And the bottom line is, from what I observed from dealing with Africa, you got to have a person in Africa to receive the product, and you got to have a person in America to receive the product. That's always the key. Who's going to receive the product, and can you trust them?
Yeah.
Anybody I've ever taught to who I've dealt with in the United States that they're dealt over in Africa, whenever they have had a problem, it's because of the person that they had in position to receive the product, did not receive the product, and it was a wrap. Now, it doesn't happen over here in America on that level, but it could. But that's what the problem has always been with import and export that I know of in dealing with the African continent.
Brother Bomani?
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, I've no problem. I've done that in the past. Put people together to do things together. But you know, individuals have to want to do things. Most of my stress comes from just trying to put things together for people to work together. Like last thing I was working on was the land. Include someone from here and two of our folks in African diaspora. One was born in Jamaica. One was born in Atlanta. And the person from here lives in Jersey. And it was just.
Hold on, Brother Bomani, hold on. You're breaking up. You're breaking up pretty bad. Let's try it again. Okay. Because you were saying something very important where you were putting together some individuals to do some things. And so go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's feedback in the background. It sounds simple and easy when people talk about we should work together and everything, but people like myself literally dedicate our life to putting people together and things, and thus a lot goes wrong based on the lack of our professionalism and the lack of just communication. You know, you put parties of people together to work together, and then you just don't get certain results. It's like, you know, you can't just keep killing yourself with it. But we as a people, just like I talk about, tourism industry is a big industry for black people, and white people shouldn't be responsible for taking more of our people to Africa than black people.
I agree.
Which is a bad situation. And that's only because we, you know, a tour business is difficult. It's not a simple thing, but it's very rewarding. And I've seen companies, popular companies that used to be around and they're not around anymore. And it's, you know, it's like that energy of just doing a business, just to do a business for 10, 20, 30 years got to stop. It's like, if you're building something, it has to be generational. Like I have my son, my younger brother, and I have other family members, a few generations, two generations ready to take leadership and do all the business that we're going to, because once we move to Ghana and we're doing tourism in Ghana, we're doing administrative services and technical services, all the things that I make my money from in America based on the buildings that I built. You know, we can just take them things to another level there, but, you know, we have to have the people in place, ready to train them, ready to put them in a situation where, you know, your son is 18 years old now, instead of going to wasting his time going to Harvard to get a business degree, which is a waste of money and a waste of time and waste of energy. He's learning everything about business from his father, who have built
right.
business from grassroots all the way up to the highest level, and know every aspect of how business work and everything work. And, you know, so it's like we build a generation to where white people are not teaching us their foolishness on how for us to be dedicated to them. We're training our own. Next, you know, we have our sons and daughters filling up a corporate building, filling up factories,
yes.
filling up operations at a port, seaport, airport,
yes.
and any other kind of ports. And, man, but it's like we have to take those responsibilities. It sounds nice when we say we should work together, but it's like
it's work.
Out of every pack. People that are working together, people have to take leadership. And maybe 10 of us, you know, maybe we have a group, Oshi, me and you have 10
yeah.
people. Well, if we just sit around and the group just decide to figure things out, we'll never get anywhere. I'm a product of the U.S. Navy operation. And one of the most important things I learned from those folks and seeing how they get it done is they just get it done. They come up with a game plan and they just have you doing this, you doing that, and the mission is done. And it shouldn't be any more difficult for us if we sit and decide that we're going to do certain things. You say, hey, Bomani, you take the leadership on this. Hey, Oshi, take the leadership on this. And make sure you do the follow-up with everybody else and make sure we get it done. And somehow,
yeah.
in between that moment of all that stuff, we end up having issues and problems, which makes no sense. Because
right.
if you look at other youth of people, they put their money together and they make sure development happening. It's like right now you see groups of Mexicans driving around in vehicles and they're taking up all of the jobs that we used to do, from the landscaping to
right.
the working around the house to everything. I've literally seen
roofing.
In the county, Clayton County or City of Jonesboro, I've literally seen where black people used to do some of these labor, and then now it's just group of Mexicans and groups of people from all kind of
right.
So-called Hispanic countries, you know, Spanish-speaking
yeah.
people.
because they'll work for less. They were undercutters. I remember when Vicente Fox was the president of Mexico and said something disparaging about that, you know. And my thing was, no, we're not going to work for the, you know, so-called, quote, slave labor wages that y'all people are going to work for. We want a honest pay for honest work. Brother Jay, you got anything? Because we're about to end the program.
Hey, brother Bunmani, good luck with your upcoming trip. Continue to do what you're doing and travel safely. Hotep, speak with you Wednesday. OC, peace.
All right, peace to you, Jay. Brother Bunmani, we want to thank you, man. When you get back, give me a call. And also, too, I want you back on the program, but I want to sit down and talk with you because I'm serious about this. And if I can help you, believe me, I'll do that. Okay. So I want to, when you get back from this tour, we'll get back on radio and give us the highlights. But then I'd like to talk to you in private about making sure that I can help any way that I can to make this happen, because I really appreciate what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thanks for the energy and everything. And this is something that we just consistently have to keep working on and trying to connect other people. So I'm always trying to do a reach out to people through it. I understand that they, you know, especially ones who live in Ghana, if you can get involved in tourism. If you have a hotel, add it to the bed and breakfast energy, market it to us, we live in a world where, you know, we have, you know, I'm not saying it's, we're on an even playing field, because we're never on an even playing field.
That's
but
right.
You know, it's even enough at this moment for us to step our game up and do what we need to do and not blame our, you know, our lack of progress on, you know, on white people or Caucasians or on anyone else outside of ourselves. It's a situation where, you know, we just have to stay thankful to our ancestors for getting us this far, and it's time for us to handle our business and do what we need to do in this generation.
Ashe. Thank you, Brother Bunmani. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio. Peace, family.